So we now come to disguised non-structured way of interviews. There are various ways, but you look at the last point, as they say, the projective techniques are very common that has been used here. It's unstructured also, and it is a disguised. So all the things that we have studied under those kind of thing, word association, sentence completion, etc., those kind of techniques when used here, here respondent doesn't know what has been probed about. He is being just made to do certain tasks. Simulations are provided. Stimuli, as I said, could be word association or sentence completion, story completion, etc. He narrates things out of the feeling that, you know, what is he saying is for something else. But he's actually unrevealing himself. That's what this means. Disguised non-structured, the main characteristics are aim to be unstructured to bring out the respondent's underlying motivations, beliefs, attitudes, etc. Obviously, when you confront him, he may not tell you all that thing. You want to unearth this, you want to really bring this out without respondent really knowing it. They are indirect techniques with psychological support. It has more relevance to the psychology side of it. We have covered different such tests earlier. I'm not getting into each one of them necessarily out here. So overall, we have completed disguised, non-structured way of attitude measurement. Non-disguised structured is like self-explanatory. It is a structured way of asking, but it's a non-disguised also. It's like when you ask about certain opinion, you are asked about expressions or what do you feel like, etc., your purchase intentions, your recommendation, referrals, will you refer this product, etc., you know, those kind of questions. It's not disguised in its own way, and it's a structured way of asking. Point that is this suffers from is the point earlier to that. Can you really correlate and apply this answer on a national level or on your population? Overall statisticians feels or the marketers feels you cannot, because these are the questions you are asked in such a way that it may not have a direct correlation or a cause in effect kind of a conclusiveness in that. And as a result, you know, ability of it to extrapolate or externalize is very limited. What we now study is a disguised structured techniques. The second part is clear, the structured, because it has been the questionnaire or the questions are structured. What is disguised is the way the answers are asked from you. Various scales have been made by the statisticians. On the face of it, they look very simple to answer. Collectively, when various answers are analyzed, they reveal something about your behavioral aspects or your psychological aspects, etc. Useful for this, therefore, the attitude measurements, etc. Scaling is a technique used for measuring qualitative response, that is the feeling, perception, likes, dislikes, etc., in a quantifiable manner. That's the advantage of scaling. There are scales like nominal scale, ordinal scale, interval scale, ratio scales. The above mentioned scales are popularly used for marketing research. There are few more, but for the timing, we will restrict on this four to understand. What is nominal scale? Nominal scale, as they say, it helps you to know classifications like male, female, inventory, between, turnover, kind of. So that's the scale. So it has been a very simple scale. It consists of an assigning of the certain numeral values, assignment of alternatives, assignment of categories. Not very well, exhaustive in nature, but they are mutually exclusive in its own way. These scales are just numerical and are least restrictive of all scales. If nominal scales numbers are no more than the tables and are used specifically to identify different categories of response, what I want to go at is like the individual classification, company classification, various classifications that you are trying to seek, which is aimed at your ability to generally understand the finding in the context of your segments and etc. in such case, these are the type of scales which are useful. Therefore, they try to ask you question in a way, you tick mark male, female, or you tick mark, you know, inventorization by product or by department, etc., or the turnover scales are given, income scales are given, etc. So they are like nominal scales, yeah, where the answers are not very cumbersome, tedious, multiple, but at the same time they are bracketing itself and you hope to get the desired answer out. That's the importance of it. Ordinal scale, as they say, is the ordinal scales are the simplest attitude measurement scales used in marketing research. It is more powerful than the nominal scales. For example, like ranking of the player in the tennis tournament. So you create a ranking methods and you ask the respondent to rank the player. So that's the ordinal scale wherein some better perspective come in from the minds of the respondent. Most important attribute is ranked on number one. So you again tell them what you like, then you are told that you rank them in order of your likes or rank them in order of your preference, rank them in order of your buying decisions, etc. So that kind of thing reveal a lot about consumers, what is there in his mind, which is not the way the nominal scale will reveal to you. So that's the importance of ordinal scale. Interval scale. So interval scales are, as the name suggests, it's a distance between the various categories. And it is not nominal, it is not ordinal, there is no ranking that has been done. An interval scale has a arbiter zero point with the further number placed on both the sides, positive sides and the negative sides. Such scales permit the researchers to say that position 5 is above position 4 and position 1 is below position 2. Position 3 is like, as they say, an independent or intermediary. So the what you see, the TV rating 5 score, you know, attributes, 5 point rating scales, etc. They are the scale which is interval scale. You rate my function from 1 to 5. The 1 is the not so good function and 5 is a very good function. And you have been asked to rate them. So in such case, it's an interval scale that has been used to get a right idea from your mind. Ratio scales. The ratio scale has a natural zero point and further numbers are placed at equally appearing interval. So the difference between the interval scale, where intermediary stages are not well defined, so respondent can give answer as he comes out of his mind, which is not necessarily well defined. When you say that one is this and the five is this, I will go back to previous slide. A classic example of the scale is thermometer rating of TV on 5 score attributes, like wherein you have been just told to rate between 1 to 5. And when you say 2, its meaning is clear, yet it is not very clear, which is not the case with the ratio scale, where 0.1 and 0.5 and 4 and 2 and 3 are well defined. So that's what is the ratio scale. Ratio scales possesses all the characteristics that is needed in the interval scale, as well as clarity of the answer is possible in the ratio scale method vis-a-vis the interval scale method. We come to that disguise structure technique. That is what we are understanding. Under that, there are scales that we are trying to understand. One is a self-rating scale. Self-rating scale is any group of questions or items with the common theme, intelligence, knowledge, innovation, etc. So example is given, an additive scale of a set of items where each person gets a score according to how many questions he answered in a certain way. An old school spelling test. So 15 out of 20 spellings correct means you are a good speller. So this is what like a self-rating scale. You have certain measurements. Now you have to decide the meaning of this measurement. So you will create your own rating, that people above 80% means I will give them very good. People 75 to 80, I will give them good. People 50 to 75, I will give them average. So now this is what you have created. You have created your self-rating scale. You have certain ratings available, certain aspects available. You are just trying to now make a meaning out of it. That's what the self-rating scale is all about. So we'll try to understand certain types of self rating scale. Primarily there are two, a graphic rating scale and itemized rating scale. Itemized there are further more, so we will try to understand them one by one better as we move forward. So let's first understand the graphic rating scale. In this method, the respondents rates the object by placing a mark to a appropriate position on the line that has been provided, runs through from one extreme of the variable to the another variable. This is known as a continuous scale. The example is given below. What is your opinion about quality of this product? 0, 1, 5, 7. Interim of course are not given, but it is like poor quality, bad quality, very bad quality, whatever. Neither nor to goes up to 7, which is a good quality. Customers can occupy any position on a scale. Yaane. In this method, we measure the physical distance from the extreme left position to the response position on the line. And when you say that from poor, where are you standing? Yaane? So what is that? That is what is generally gets measured. Overall, when it is collectively tabulated, you will come to know whether you are 5, whether you are 6, or whether you are 4, whatever this thing. So that's the graphic rating scale. Now we come to itemized rating scale, but as I told you, there are many. So one such is a Likert scale. This scale was developed by a gentleman called Mr. Rensis Likert. Here the respondents are asked to express a degree of agreement, which each of the series of statements, each scale has 5 response categories ranging from strongly agree to strongly disagree. So you have 5 scales. One extreme is a strongly disagree, the other extreme is strongly agree, and interim phases are defined. Each statement is assigned a numerical score ranging from 1 to 5 and then can be scaled from. You can have this scaling tweaked little bit based on your response, objective, need, etc. So, minus 2 to plus 2 also you can have, etc. So, this is what is the beauty where agreement, the degree of agreement. So, you have to form your question in such a way that respondent has to answer what is his agreement with the statement that is narrated to him. Whether he strongly agrees or strongly disagrees. Yaane. So, that's what minus 5 strongly disagrees and 5 is strongly agrees, and interim there are scales. So that's a Likert scale. This is a example that you can see. So in this table you see that there are certain statements and then there is a strongly agree, strongly disagree that you can see. Most food companies are so concerned about making profit that they do not care about quality. So having defined this statement, respondents are asked to give their agreement to this statement. Strongly agree, strongly disagree, 2 means agree, 3 means neither nor, 4 means disagree. So that's the level that this scale tries to capture. Next is the B, is a semantic differential scale. Here this is a 7-point scale, yaane, and end points are associated with the bipolar labels. Individuals can score between 1 to 7 or minus 3 to 3. You can even play with this scale also to an extent. Bipolar 2 or 3 products can be analyzed simultaneously, and joining this profile analysis can be conducted. This scale helps to determine overall similarities and overall differentials between the objects under study. So in marketing research, this method is specifically used to develop image profiles. So profile of a individual, profile of the product, brand, etc. This is a good method. What actually I want to go is the next table, which is a meaningful to you instead of that theoretical part. Semantic difference scale, extremely, quite slight, quite, extremely, less costly. So there are those bipolar ends. Yaane. So bipolar labels, as I have earlier used the term. So this is a bipolar this thing. So there are bipolar labels. Yaane. Less costly, costly. So now the product is in terms of cost, where do you put? So less costly, very costly. So extremely, quiet, slightly, quiet, extremely, you know, so strong flavor, mild flavor. So that's a bipolar extreme. So in this you try to, customer has to, respondent has to answer. This when framed, you know, gives the image of an individual, product, brand, etc. So that's the difference of this scale. Staples scale, yani. Staples scale is the scale was developed by a gentleman called Jan Staple. Scale is also known as a unipolar rating scale. This scale has some distinctive features. Each item has only one word or a phrase indicating the dimension to it. Each item has 10 response categories. Each item has even number of categories, and the response categories have numerical labels. We can study this in the next slide. You can see this plus 5, plus 4, plus 3, plus 2, plus 1 high quality purity fees, minus, minus 2, minus 3, 4, minus 5. Now, the respondent has to choose this on certain. So, the quality is the one area on which the probing is happening. He has to choose between this end. Yani. So, that's the meaning of it. It says, like, you know, each item is only one word. So, that is the one word, that is the quality. Each item has 10 response categories, that is minus, plus 5 to minus 5. Each item has even number of categories. So, they are same, 5 above, 5 below, of kind of. Categories have numerical labels, yani. So, they have a numerical label. So, that is what we have seen, that numerical labels. So, this will generate a different type of scale or a graph, and it has its own better and clearer meaning, so to say. Multidimensional scale, very important scale. As they say, the technique based on the integrated efforts of a computer, hardware, software put together, mind frame is projected, as you say, like where your brand or where your company is in the mind of your consumers. They, by showing you the distance, closeness to the particular point, etc., a picture emerges. Yani, I am more keen to actually move forward. The example is, the respondents are asked to create a different groups of brands based on very similar, like similar, not similar, and so on. The lake of this fit brand index is calculated using computer programs. So this is what is emerges. Yani, when you really plot the multiple dimension of these answers which individuals have given, closeness or away, you know, how far it is from certain aspects will bring out the meaning of it. Yani. So, that's the multi-dimensional scaling, very useful for the brand positioning development. You will come to know which are the areas empty, and if whether your product or a brand can occupy that area in the mind of your consumer. So, that's the time when multi-dimensional scalings are used. It is useful, you know, it's a very useful measure, image measurement, segmentation, positioning, advertising effectiveness comes out, pricing analysis also at times can come out, channel decisions. So, channel decisions at location and logistics calculation that happens will reveal you which is the better way to reach out to your final consumers, etc. Attitude scale construction, etc. also can be done using a multi-dimensional scaling. The advantage of this multi-dimensional scaling is the major attributes of the given class of products perceived by the consumers in consideration to what they are liking about it, disliking about it. The study who brands completes with each directly. It also can study the competing brand. So, that's the only technique where competitive projection is possible. To find out whether consumers would like a new product or combination or a characteristic thereof, advertising captions, etc., liked by the consumers can also be analyzed and understood to see as to why they are, you know, getting clicked, etc. And so, essentially, because of the multiple dimensional this thing in correlation or in relation to certain specific this thing it plots, you will come to know where you are better, where you are far away, where there is a gap. Is the gap towards on a favorable side, and that, can that gap be fulfilled by you either offering a product mix or a brand perception change or brand positioning, and thereby create a favorable marketing condition for your product. The next is the Thurston scale. Yani, the scale means it's a scale in which mean score is computed. If marijuana is taken safely, its effect can be quite enjoyable, unfavorable, neutral, favorable. I think it is horrible and corrupting, etc. wherein you see this scale as such, which the guy has to tick mark. These are not, say, like necessarily numbered, but neutral point is decided, and from that neutral, how far or close that you are. So it's made up of a statement about a particular issue, and each statement has a numerical value indicating how favorable or unfavorable it is. So the statements are formed in such a way that you probably have to answer how favorable or how unfavorable it is. People check for each of the statement, and while they agree, and a mean score is computed. So there is a neutral score, there is an extreme which is unfavorable, there is another extreme which is favorable. Based on the answer, the neutral score, the mean, is calculated. So that's what is this Thurston scale. Next is the Gutman's scale, or scalogram as they say. It is based on the idea that items can be arranged along the continuum in such a manner that a person who agrees with an item or finds an item acceptable will also agree with or find acceptable other items, expressing a less extreme positions. In this scale, each scale represents a unique set of response, and total score of every individual is obtained. These scales are commonly used in political science, public opinion, and psychology. So I will want to move to the, say, next table, where there is a better understanding. So idea that item can be arranged along the continuum in such a manner that a person who agrees with the item or finds the item acceptable will also find other thing in a same manner. So like Gutman scale of attitudes towards abortion. So if that is the case, respondents 1 to 6, there are 6 respondents. Life of women in incest or rape, unhealthy fetus, father, afford, anytime, number of agree answer, average answers, revised scale score. So this is what is like hypothetical data, A agree and D disagree. So this is how people will plot, based on which number of agree answers you will plot. So how many have said yes, I agree, and how many have said disagree. And then you finally find the revised scale score, which is based on statistical this thing, so that you are able to then derive 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So that's what is the outcome of this research. It is based on the idea that item can be arranged along the continuum. So we now come to understand Q-sort technique. This technique is also called as discriminative technique. It is used to discriminate an object amongst large group of objects quickly. This uses a rank order procedure, and objects are sorted out on the similarity and acceptability criteria. Thus, the Q-sort technique attempts to classify different objects in terms of their similarity or to attributes under study. So let's see the next slide. Is a research method used to study the people's subjectivity, that is their viewpoint. The data for Q factor analysis comes from the series of Q sort performed by one or more subjects. A Q sort is a ranking of variables. Typically, it's a ranking of variables which you try to do, and that ranking derives certain meaning for you. Most like how I think about this celebrity, or least like how I think about this celebrity, etc. Two sets of data. The first is a physical distribution of sorted objects. The second is either an ongoing think aloud narrative or a discussion that immediately follows the sorting exercise. So let's go to the next condition of instruction scorecards, minus 5, minus 4, 2. Like it's done in such a way that people are asked to give their views on each of the statements, etc. And then this, how the cue cards are sorted out. And this, when they actually count the number of cue cards onto various points, some findings emerge out of it. So that's the difference of cue sort. Overall, limitations of an attitude measurement, this thing, we have studied various ways to measure the attitudes. We need to kind of study the limitations of the attitude measurements. So inability to predict the consumer behavior in future. So what all we have studied, you can derive now that consumer will answer you till that point of time in his life when you are asking him that question. Now, it is not necessary that that holds true for future. So, that is the limitation of this particular research approach. They tend to overlook the immediate environment around them. Many times they try to project their better self, etc. during attitude research and all. So, that's a major limitation. The relationship between attitudes and buying behavior still unexplainable. So, earlier I have said ke bhai, I am what I am because of my attitude, and it influences the product that I choose, the way that I buy, from the place where I buy. Say for example, I am still uncomfortable from an online purchase, while my family members often or rather regularly buy even garments and all from the online stores. Yeah. So, it's like my probably attitude that the stitched garments look better on you, that is hampering my movement to online purchases, yani of fashion durable, fashion items and all. So, this is what is, how this is linked is still a question. Statistically, there is no answer to that, and that's the reason the question comes in. Linking a product and a buying a product, although they are connected, however, they are still independent issues. Yani. So, I like something and I buy something, there is a two independent aspects to it, and therefore linking them through an attitude as a catalyst is a subject matter which is even discussed today. Let's understand the observation method of data collections. So we are trying to understand different data collection methods. Interview, intercept, surveys, this is what has been, we have discussed earlier. FGD are the produce that report data, the subjective. There are error, memory loss, biases, etc. Direct observation can reduce all such efforts. So, what we have done is in the previous method, this is the limitations like survey, FGD, etc. Where errors and biases, etc. are possible. As it says that observation method removes those. Direct observation can reduce such errors. Observations are done to get an idea of consumer behaviors on most natural surroundings. So, we have studied the observation methods earlier. Surrounding could be either neutral, laboratory, moderated, as we have studied. And we have studied techniques like mystery shopping, eye tracking, etc. So, more than what this observation method is all about, this is trying to take you through what are the other methods that under the observation methods are. So, observation method, this thing, participation observation. So, you try and do, you observe the participants. So, here researcher becomes a participant, either store salesman or he becomes a buyer himself, etc. And he gets into doing a entire observation. Time consuming, his experience may not be sufficient. He probably may over influence the buyer, etc. He has to make a note of it, which if he is not very meticulous about. He probably also has to note the obstructive manner. So, it should not happen that while this interaction is happening, he is writing things down, etc. So, that will not allow the naturality to remain. Of course, there are technology supports available like eye tracking devices which are hidden behind packets and all, or cameras, etc. So, that kind of a thing will probably enhance the genuinity, the quality of the observation method, but it has its own limitation. Next is an internet-based data collection method. So, that's also one of the methods that we have discussed. Internet-based data is a 21st century scenario of there lot of digitalization, lot of web connectivity, virtual connectivity, etc. opens a different chapter as to how you collect the data. Here the respondent has a comfort of being where he is and time that he chooses to answer, etc. Researcher has a better way to approach customers, remind him, etc. and then analyze all information in a timely manner. So, those are some of the advantages that today internet offers. Some of the internet based these things are email surveys. You get a request, you have a link, you click, takes you to the microsite, you feed in the answers, etc. Bulletin boards, where you have been asked to answer, how satisfied will this was this information correct, Today, most of the support you take on a computer, etc., or on mobile, you often are asked, are you satisfied with the answer, etc. These are similar such as the bulletin boards, web, HTMLized research. It could be done in many ways, without really taking the time of your respondents. Computer assisted telephonic interviews, CATI as they say, where both respondents and interviewers are at their end. Computer is an intermediary tool with the internet connectivity. Questions asked, explanations given, information is punched in or the typed in by the respondents, captured by the data collecting mechanism. And when the research is over, the data is already collected. Downloadable surveys, etc. Many times you often get this SurveyMonkey forms or Google forms, etc. Or you get that request that to participate, download this and answer at your convenience, and those kind of researches that approach you. Many PhD scholars pursuing also approach you, etc. So they are those downloadable surveys with the electronic linking available. Web moderated interviews and data mining. So web moderated interviews are like kind of an in-depth interview, but it is moderated using web as your tool. Data mining is all this are touch points, and a lot of touch points based revelations are possible. Even that forms a primary data, and those analysis will give you a lot of idea about hit rates and most liked aspects and most disliked. So those kind of subject matter can come out through this internet based data collection method. All your digital apps, how many times you opened, which page you remained more, what did you do it. All these things, the back end, there is a lot of data that it feeds to the advertiser or the marketeers, and they can make a meaning out of it. That's the importance of it. These are some of the tools that we have discussed. It tries to elaborate you. I don't think so that each one needs to be really been covered by me. This is about email survey. We all probably know the bulletin board, collectively invited on a website or meeting room and useful for Delphi method. So I'll just try and touch base on this. Non-internet era, Delphi I means there are series of rounds that happen, and each round each expert give their opinion. They collectively mean something. That response collective analysis fed to the same team again, where he monitors where was his answer and what is the group saying. He has a choice to remain where he is, his opinion, or he has a choice to be with the group, etc. Now in the web-based bulletin board, etc., these steps are removed. There everyone is discussing it kind of online, live, in real time, and they immediately either they arrive at a consensus or each retains this thing. Fair enough, the researcher notes that data down. So that's the advantage of bulletin board for Delphi kind of a thing. This, of course, it's a self-explanatory. CATI also is a self-explanatory. It requires basically the computer and network assistance, good for in-depth interview, as it says. Web customization interactive program. It's a program prepared for the interaction, etc. Many research agencies have developed their own tools or the softwares which they provided to their panel members, etc. So consumer panel or response panel, etc. They use this kind of interactive programming to feed in their data, and that generates a lot of primary data. A downloadable survey questionnaire is downloaded along the specific program, linked to it, and then feeds in the information and then submits the data. It's a very useful tool, very fast, simple to answer, built in is there, and can be completed in 2 to 3 minutes, and that's what is generally encouraging more and people to get the users' feedback, get the respondents' feedback, etc. So that's the importance of this web moderated interview. As I said, web moderated interviews are the one which is generally good for the qualitative format, like chat rooms, etc., where entire FGD, if I have to give you a clear idea, entire focus group discussion kind of thing becomes live on the net. So that's the essence of this particular method. But moderation is difficult. In the focus group, moderator and all being present, he is able to moderate. Here it becomes a interference. When somebody is chatting, somebody is talking, etc., it's very difficult for the moderator to moderate that conversation. Data mining is all analysis linked to the archived information, real-time data behavior. It has so many touch points, digital, your touches, movements, your being on a particular page, being on a particular item, being on particular, specification sheets, etc. Reveal a lot about how is your observation is or how is your behavior is. And then collectively, if it is analyzed for many people, marketers get certain trend. And that trend can be utilized for their future marketing activities, etc. However, the relation between different aspects of demography, etc., are very difficult to call out if at every point of time the demographic data is not captured and made available to the researchers. So that's the essence of it about the data mining. Today, for certain programs, I might have given an access to my personal information. Maybe my local movements are been available to certain apps, etc. May not be to all. So that's what, as I said, certain information, if it is not correlatable, if for analyzing certain information using data mining, if my whereabouts or if my travel needs to be known, if that is not provided, then analysis may not be right. So that's the beauty of data mining. Say for example, I am told that today's electric vehicle, everybody is talking about that electric vehicle. On start, the basic model will have something like 2000 parameters which can be monitored because everything is electronic and digitized. But companies may not have for initial almost 5 years or a decade anything to analyze more than 20 attributes. So that's where the gap is, that the data mining versus ability versus availability of related data for data mining. Today, big data is a science which is trying to feed this gap and or rather bridge this gap and trying to create an ecosystem where a systematic capturing of a data availability at a cross platform, etc., are going to be monitored, followed by artificial intelligence, which we talked today, where it is going to create a different revolution altogether. So that's about data mining. So, talking about internet-based data collection methods and their, few advantages are like, it's not an interview technique, so all disadvantages are kind of removed. Surveys on internet allows flexibility to both the sides. Supplement other methods of data collection found to be more practical. Convenience is a critical aspect of it. Quick feedback can be obtained and technology advantages are at your forefront, more and more technology revolutions are coming. It is an ethical permission-based data collection system considered as, and therefore it has its own importance in the marketing research. Cookies and all their use do not hide from the users. The users are clearly told what data will be captured while they answer the question, etc. So there is a privacy, this thing and all is also very openly conveyed to the respondent, and if he chooses to answer, then only necessary data is obtained about him, and the information is questionnaire is completed, etc. So that's the advantage of internet based system of data collection. Overall, we have studied therefore critical aspect of primary data. What is primary data? We have earlier studied. Here in this chapter, way you collect primary data, that is what we have studied. There are different ways that which you collect under each. There are different methods to collect. So, it gives you an idea about the importance of primary data and how it is collected and how it is used for various kinds of this thing vis-a-vis in formation of a questionnaire. What are the significant aspects that we have studied in this chapter? Thank you.